without Husker Du and their compadres, the replacements out of Minneapolis, there is no modern rock and roll as we know it today. There is no Nirvana. There is no Green Day. Those bands owe everything to Husker Du and the replacements. And without, of course, Nirvana, rock and roll probably would have ceased to exist.
Tell me, what was it about Grant Hart that made you think this would be a good subject for a documentary?
Well, honestly, I had the idea first. I wanted to do a documentary where only one person spoke. I wanted to do a takeoff on the Errol Morris documentary of Fog of War about William McNamara. And so it was really finding an intelligent, articulate rock star who lived, had the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in his life. Grant Hart was actually in my Replacements documentary, Color Me Obsessed, and both he and my film were playing in Brussels, Belgium, of all places, at a tribute to Minneapolis bands. And we talked over breakfast one morning, and we never talked about music or film or anything. We talked about life. And I realized how smart this man was and how sarcastic and, the stories that he had. And I literally remember going back down to my room thinking, this is the person for that Fog of War rock and roll documentary.
So we have the charm and the stories to carry an entire documentary.
Oh, absolutely. And the life. I mean, everything from being ripped off by his label to his band breaking up because of a horrible drug addiction, the ups and downs, to being called one of the most influential bands, of all time, and yet, not really selling all that well. I mean, that which is so many times the influential bands never sell, and it's the copycats that do.
Now, most people know Grant Hart from Husker Du. How, over the years, has he dealt with that fame, and how does he deal with people when they come up and ask him about what's going on with Husker Du? When are you guys going to get back together?
It's funny, because I've seen that asked so many times, and the answer usually depends upon what kind of mood he's in. I think he realizes, that's the reason that people come to see him, in the first place. And I don't think he puts it down or is resentful of it or anything. I think he's also very proud. In the film, he openly speaks that there is no one he would prefer to play with and no better guitar player he's ever played with than his partner, Bob Mould. So despite their differences, I mean, he admits, openly in the film, this was my musical partner.
You chose locations important to Grant Hart's life, like the record store where Grant Hart met Bob Mould. It's a great concept. Why did you decide to do it like that?
Well, because he was going to be the only person who was speaking in the film. I wanted to really break up the backgrounds, and also it sometimes they'll invoke memories. He'll be somewhere and explain why this is important to. To Husker Du. And he also did a couple of things that blew my mind. One day we picked him up and he said, "Hey, can I drive?" I'm like, "Sure." And so we knew we were going to the place where the house where he had grown up was located, but the house had since burned down, so it was an empty lot. Well, we get there and we're setting up our cameras and he turns to us and says, "Are you guys ready?" And we're like, "Sure." And he starts walking onto the lawn and takes us through a tour of the house that's no longer there, opening up invisible cabinets, pointing at where his drum set would have been. And it was just this beautiful moment of someone remembering a house that, he spent 41 years out of his 50 years, living in. And I remember I got goosebumps just watching it at the time. And I'm thinking, these are my bookends for the film.
Gorman, I've interviewed some rock musicians, and sometimes I find them to be incredibly forthcoming, but a lot of times I find them to be a little guarded. And I was wondering, did you get any of that with Grant Hart, or was he just completely forthcoming?
He was completely forthcoming because he had seen my previous work, so he respected it. And I told him, I said, "If we're going to do this, you have to answer every question. There's nothing everything's on the table. There can't be any elephants left in the room." And I remember one of the big things was, he'd really never spoken publicly about the heroin addiction and how it broke up the band. Well, he spoke for hours about it one afternoon. You know, to the point where my first cut of the heroin section was about literally an hour long, and I had to figure out how do I cut this down to 3 or 4 minutes, you know. So he was incredibly forthcoming, but he has no problem making fun of his own myth. I mean, without question. And sure, he can be snarky and sarcastic at some times, but a lot of times it's about himself. So he didn't, there was none of that blown up ego, you know, this was not a puff piece, which unfortunately a lot of rock documentaries tend to be. This really does show the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, it shows a real life, a realistic life in rock and roll.
All right. Well, Gorman Bouchard, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.